They say he pledged allegiance to ISIS when he started firing on officers. Outgoing National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster says he's requesting retirement from the Army and leaving public service now that President Trump has let him go as NSA, hiring John Bolton, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, to succeed him beginning on April 9th. Meanwhile, as some wonder about the rapid-fire changes in Trump personnel in recent weeks, former Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee says the president's doing what he has to do as he's in a fight for the life of his presidency.
He needs to assemble around him what I would call a wartime council. And that's what he's doing with his legal team. I think it's what he's doing with his national security team. And good for him, because he's in a battle.
Speaking there on the Fox Business Network, this is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
A teenage girl who was shot at Great Mills High School in Southern Maryland back on Tuesday was taken off life support and died hours ago. Jalen Willie's mother, Melissa, making the announcement at Prince George's Hospital Center last night. She'd been shot in her school by 17-year-old Austin Rollins, who died after exchanging gunfire with a school resource officer. A 14-year-old boy who was also shot and wounded, well, he's been released from the hospital. The producers of Motherless Brooklyn speaking out after a firefighter died while battling a fire that broke out in Harlem that was doubling for a set last night. Actor Edward Norton and his associates issuing their deepest condolences to the family of a New York firefighter, Michael Davidson, who lost his life battling that basement fire. Norton, who's also directing the film that also stars Bruce Willis, called 911 himself to report the fire and called the FDNY real-life superheroes. The movie, set in the 50s, also stars Alec Baldwin and William Dafoe. And a toy maker is trying to give Toys R Us a little help, as the toy maker that makes Bratz dolls and LOL Surprise is launching a crowdfunding campaign to try to buy Toys R Us. Isaac Larian has pledged $200 million, along with other investors, hoping to raise another $800 million to make a billion-dollar bid for all or some of the retailer. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris. tariffs on up to $60 billion worth of imports from China. Asian stock markets sharply off over fears that the U.S. and China could now be on the brink of a trade war. And this is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over 50,000 people get their life back. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple call to 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. That's 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. We are open 24/7 and all calls are confidential and free. Call now. 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com.
H.R. McMaster is out and former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton is in as the president's national security advisor. The announcement coming late yesterday, even taking Bolton by surprise, as he said on Fox News shortly after it was announced in a tweet.
I didn't really expect an announcement this afternoon, but it's obviously a great honor. It's always an honor to serve our country, and I think particularly in these times internationally, it's a particular honor. So I'm still sort of getting used to it.
A former Playboy model claiming that Donald Trump attempted to pay her after having an affair with her back in 2006. Karen McDougal telling CNN she had a relationship with him for about a year and was shocked at the offer of money. McDougal's now suing the owner of the National Enquirer, claiming that the publication paid her $150,000 for her story, but then never published it. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a one-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
In Sacramento, California, protesters gathered outside the Golden One Center last night as the NBA's Sacramento Kings were playing a game inside. They were angry about the Sunday police-involved shooting that left an unarmed black man dead. Stephon Clark wasn't armed when police mistook his cell phone for a gun and shot him 20 times. Last night, those protesters stayed peaceful. No arrests were made. The U.S. and Jordan have unveiled a counterterrorism training center now nearing completion in the kingdom, as we hear from USA Radio's John Clemens.
This latest counterterrorism academy is only 43 miles from the Jordanian capital. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauer tells us this is the second facility built in Jordan under the Anti-Terrorism Assistance Program known as ATA.
Once it's fully operational, the new training center will double ATA's regional counterterrorism training capacity in the country of Jordan. Through the ATA program, Jordan has become a regional training hub for Jordanian police and police from at least 21 other nations.
I'm John Clemens.
And a prominent Orthodox rabbi in Israel claims that Jews can eat meat from cloned pigs. Rabbi Yuval Shurlo telling an interviewer this week that cloned pig meat is kosher already because it is not subject to the same dietary rules that apply to Jews eating regular meat. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio entitled
Tariffs on up to $60 billion worth of imports from China. Asian stock markets sharply off over fears that the U.S. and China could now be on the brink of a trade war. And this is USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over...
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Well, good afternoon. Friday afternoon. Sorry, I got caught in traffic. This is Pat Smith with your Friday Law Show. And before that, I just wanted to talk about the weather for a minute. Apparently, there are going to be increasing clouds this afternoon. But that should not be really problematic because it's really been a beautiful sunny day. Tonight, there will be increasing clouds. By tomorrow, it should be mostly sunny, actually, and high of about 44 degrees. It actually felt much warmer out there today. By tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, then a slight chance of snow showers because we're going to get down to about 27 degrees. By Sunday, partly sunny, into Monday, high of about 44 degrees, and very beautiful day on Monday, and then mostly sunny again on Tuesday. It could be over 50 degrees by Tuesday. So looks like it's going to be a fairly decent week. At least we're not going to have another nor'easter. At least it's not predicted. So we'll be back after I tell you who is sponsoring the program, and we'll talk about the law.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, again, good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits. I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County. I have a program on Friday afternoons. It's the law. And lots of people ask me things and ask me to talk about things on the program. And if you haven't been listening, apparently the president signed a massive bill as far as spending. And we're always talking about tax cuts, but this is going to be a massive spending bill, including a huge increase for the military. In any event, it's been a week and a week of a lot of sadness. Once again, there have been shootings, a school shooting in Maryland, and then even a situation right here in Princeton at a Panera Bread. So in any event, I wanted to talk a little bit about focus on business loss because there are many people who have small businesses, part-time businesses, and they need to know just exactly how they can handle the business and from a tax standpoint. So the focus is going to be, and it's typically a small business that gets reported on a Form 1040 as an unincorporated entity on a Schedule C. Certain LLCs can also report on Schedule Cs. But this might be something like consulting, a part-time sales position, where you're self-employed, and a variety of activities that are often part-time and often involve working out of your home. So these are, obviously any business should have tax advice, so I'm just pointing out certain things, and this is certainly not meant to be a be legal advice. I never talk about anything that should be specific legal advice, but just some things to point out, something that you should be aware of. So it's not unusual in these situations to have a loss. So, however, what you need to be very careful about is that you want to avoid the IRS deeming your part-time business or this activity that you're taking losses. You don't want it to be called a hobby loss. And that's really significant because you cannot take a loss on something that would be a hobby. So when you have a consistent loss, a consistent year-after-year losses on Schedule C, the IRS may determine that you were never really serious about having a business and that what you have is a hobby. So this is particularly the case when you have little or no revenues and just lots of expenses. For example, my husband has been writing a book. It's been published, but he's really been having a lot of expenses and not really income. So that's the thing you have to be concerned about. So if you are in that situation, the burden of proving that you really were operating a business with the intent to make a profit shifts to you. And that is what happens when the IRS disallows those losses. And it can be worse because although you are taking losses perhaps and should be against other income, but the IRS could assess interest and penalties because they're going to say it was a hobby, that you shouldn't have taken any losses. And at that point, they require you to prove to them that you were really trying to make a profit out of this so-called business. And so, as with many things in tax life, as well as in life in general, pushing the envelope can backfire. So that's why you have to be very careful to really scrutinize the expenses that you're considering and deducting as business expenses. In other words, you know, you don't deduct 100% of the car. You don't deduct 100% of the utility expenses or really any expenses that you would normally have, personal expenses. Certainly, you know, a portion of, if you use a telephone, a portion of that, some reasonable amount of postage. Gets a little tricky when you're using a percentage of your house, although if you have a profit, this does not become as problematic, but it still can be. So with everything else, be careful, keep records, and I guess we all should want to make a profit, actually, and that's the goal. And so if this goes on for more than a few years, you do risk some problems with the IRS. So keep that in mind. So what else is happening? Well, the one thing, there is some money in the budget now to deal with the opioid crisis. And in the most recent issue of the insurance law section newsletter in New Jersey, the partner at McCarter and English writes about how businesses must be prepared to look to their various insurance policies for coverage that might help defray the costs to defend against lawsuits related to the opioid pain medication epidemic. And so that, you know, this is coming at us from all, you know, from everywhere. And the one thing that people continue to be astonished about, although they shouldn't, is that a great percentage of people who are now addicted to heroin or other heavy drugs, illegal drugs, started out with legitimate prescriptions for pain medication. But that has become really problematic because it's very easy to get addicted. So rethink if you think that the only people are kids who are experimenting or, you know, people who, you know, just are the scum of the earth, because that's not certainly not the case. So what is happening this week in the law as far as publications and published opinions? This might be of interest because it is approved for publication, and it was in the matter of expungement of the criminal records of EC. And this was an appellate division decision. And in this case, EC appealed from the order denying her petition to expunge her conviction for third-degree possession with intent to distribute following a negotiated guilty plea. And so she was sentenced to 3 years probation, 6 days in jail, and fines and fees, with the remaining charges dismissed. Now, 3 years later, she pled guilty to a probation violation, or more than one violation, for failing to report to her probation officer and failing to to pay her fines. So this is what happens. She was, as I said, convicted, and then she pled guilty to probation violations. However, she was discharged from probation without improvement, although her outstanding fees remained in effect. She ultimately paid off all of her fines, and then she subsequently filed the petition pursuant to what they call an early pathway provision of the expungement statute. And I'm going to stop here only to say that, if you know anyone who, when they were younger, had a conviction, often drug convictions, not serious, I mean, not violent crimes, but a fairly unsubstantial, something that many young people had, think about looking into an expungement, because it is really clears your record, and it is can be very important for many jobs. So in any event, EC filed a petition pursuant to what we call an early pathway provision of the expungement statute, seeking to expunge her arrest, her conviction, and the other charges dismissed as part of her plea bargain. Excuse me. She also sought to expunge another arrest, and those charges had been dismissed, and also a later arrest that the state admitted was in error. And in support of her petition, EC noted that her arrest forced her to drop out of college, and that since then she had completed her education, but that her conviction prevented her from obtaining a certification and a full-time position. The state in this case opposed expungement. Very often they don't, but in this case they did, noting that she had failed to satisfactorily complete her term of probation and was therefore permanently barred from obtaining expungement of her criminal record. Now, so she filed an appeal, and on appeal, the appellate division reversed, and they ruled that in accepting the state's argument, the trial court arrived at a result contrary to the legislative purpose of the expungement statute. The court further held that the trial court erred in its interpretation of satisfactory completion, and I'm putting that word in quotes, satisfactory. The appellate court noted that the legislative purpose of expungement was to enable successful reentry of law-abiding ex-offenders into society. And the court further ruled that an offender discharged from probation had satisfied the sentence once all fines were paid, even if exhibiting imperfect behavior on probation. So this case was remanded back to take a look at the expungement. But as I said, very, very important to, not ignore those old records because they can surface. I won't talk about my own early But this was back when we were all kids and there was a war going on that we didn't approve of. So at one point, for many people, it was a badge of courage to be arrested. But later on, when something like this comes up, it can really prevent someone from a job or a certification, and certainly, depending on the conviction, many jobs are just, you know, you can't do them because you're not going to get the job if you have a criminal conviction. So that's approved for publication, as I said. That was March 19th that came out. And then there was another a family law case that was approved for publication. Now, this was DCPMP, that's the New Jersey Department of Children and Families, versus RR. And again, initials are used to protect the person. Same thing with EC. They did not use her name. So in this case, the defendant appealed from the finding that allegations the defendant abused or neglected his then 7-year-old daughter were not established. So the allegations against the defendant arose from an incident in which he attempted to stop ER from throwing a tantrum. He grabbed her by the arms, but she broke free, struck furniture or the wall, and fell to the floor without injury. The court noted that, quote, not established, end quote, was one of four outcomes of a division investigation of abuse or neglect. And the court noted that the division, that's DCPMP, arrived at a finding of not established, and that's in quotes, not established, end quote, if there was not a preponderance of evidence that the child was abused or neglected, but there was some evidence that the child was harmed or placed at risk of harm. So the court further noted that a parent was only completely cleared of wrongdoing by a finding of unfounded, in which the evidence established that a child was not harmed or placed at risk of harm. And finally, the court noted that harm or risk of harm could involve a lesser risk than substantial risk of harm or imminent danger. And either substantial risk of harm or imminent danger are required for a finding of abuse or neglect. And that was attributed, in other words, if there's not abuse or neglect, the four things that can be found are unfounded, which if you ever or know anyone who's ever been investigated by DCPMP, they want a finding of unfounded, because many people would not want on their record not substantiated, even though it's, you know, they just don't want that. They'd rather have unfounded, and I can understand that. So the first is unfounded, then, of course, would be not established, and then it goes, there are two other, you know, substantial risk or involved in imminent danger. That is, of course, abuse and neglect. So on appeal in this case, the court ruled that despite the deferential standard of review, the division in this case, finding not established, was arbitrary and unreasonable. Okay, so that was arbitrary and unreasonable because it failed to consider essential documents and relevant facts, including submissions to the family court that initially referred the matter to the division, or the defendant's wife, her admission that her allegation was motivated by a desire to secure her husband's removal from the marital home. In other words, you know, this basically was a setup. The court further noted that in contrast to the family court's order to investigate both parents, the division only investigated the defendant. And also the appellate division found no evidence that the defendant used excessive force while trying to control the tantrum. So what they're basically saying is, parent, you can act as a parent, just can't be abusive. And if, in fact, there is excessive force, that will be a finding that there has been abuse. So as I said, if there's any question, if anyone is investigated and they feel that the decision should be unfounded, they should fight for that because it is significant. So what else is happening? Well, let's talk about a couple notes from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to talk more law.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, we're back, and the program, It's the Law. I'm about to tell you about a case and a decision, but it was interesting. As I was leaving my office, I received a fax, and, of course, it was one of those junk faxes that so many of us get for, I don't know, insurance, repairing a roof, or, you know, whatever. And they're really a problem, and they take up paper and time and et cetera. So in one of the issues that came up, the U.S. Court of Appeals, and this was the Third Circuit, that's our circuit here, ruled that a former president of a roofing company is not personally liable for a $22 million judgment entered against his firm for sending junk faxes. And this was in violation of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. So the next time you get one of these, you know, you may want to look up the Telephone Consumer Protection Act and try to send them an email back. Problem is, most of the time, there's no ability to return those spam emails. So New Jersey judge has ruled that sealed settlements involving public entities may be subject to release under the state's Open Public Records Act, OPRA. I always forget what that means, but it's the Open Public Records Act, so that the state may not be able to hide behind that, meaning hide behind confidential or sealed settlements based on the Open Public Records Act. Approved for a publication, another case that was approved for publication this week was Gourmet Dining LLC versus Union Township Tax Collector. So in this case, the parties cross-moved for summary judgment. And this was the plaintiff's complaint seeking a determination as to whether the plaintiff was subject to property tax for the portion of a building it occupied in possession, or whether it was exempt from the property tax. So what happened in this case is the plaintiff operated a restaurant, and the restaurant occupied space in the New Jersey Center for Sciences. Actually, it's the Science, Technology, and Mathematics. And so this NJCSTM building, as the anachronism, was financed through tax-exempt bonds through NJEFA. And NJEFA owned the building and leases it to Kane University. Now, Kane, through its foundation, entered an agreement for the plaintiff to operate a restaurant, with the plaintiff being responsible for all expenses, including taxes. So that the defendant, Union Township, issued a tax bill to the plaintiff, asserting that the plaintiff was a lessee. Now, this is a lessee, and said that the plaintiff was a lessee of Kane. And so, as a result, the defendant was obligated to assess the restaurant's space as taxable real property. So they said that the restaurant's space was taxable real property. And the plaintiff challenged the assessment for tax years 2013 and 2014 following Kane and New Jersey NJEFA's joinder as necessary parties. So they had to be necessary parties in this case. So that what happened then, so they, as I said, they cross-moved for summary judgment, meaning the plaintiff filed for summary judgment and the defendant also moved for summary judgment. They both felt that there was nothing in controversy and that the trial judge could award or grant their motion for summary judgment. So in other words, lose without a trial. So the plaintiff argued, or the plaintiff and Kane College argued that the property was exempt from tax as their agreement was not a lease and the property as part of Kane University served a public purpose. The court first noted that the property employed for public use did not lose tax immunity simply because a private business became involved. So that was the first thing. And that was basically, though, that didn't answer all of the questions. They were arguing that as long as the business use, however they were using it, as long as the business use fulfilled an agency's statutory purposes, there would not be any taxation. Now, the Keynes University's statutory functions, of course, were to provide a secondary education as well as ancillary services. So although they were, when I say, so although the ancillary services included dining facilities for students, faculty, and staff, the court noted that the plaintiff's restaurant was not considered part of Kane's dining facilities. Moreover, the court found no agency between plaintiff and NJEFA, and so accordingly, the court granted the defendant's motion for summary judgment. So remember, both plaintiff and defendant had motions for summary judgment, and the court did not grant the plaintiffs, but did grant the defendants. So that, and that's something if you ever did lease property and you thought you'd be tax exempt, it's worth it to really find out what the situation would be. There were a number of family law DCPMP cases that were not published, and I don't see anything that was really that struck out to be that interesting. There was a case not approved for publication, but still interested because of it's a labor law case where the defendant, and that was the Township of Monroe, was a plaintiff, versus United Services Workers Union. So in that case, the parties, obviously they didn't agree, and the question is, can and should the arbitrator modify the decision? So before we continue, I'm just going to break for a short break for sponsors.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Okay, hi, back again. Some more news, legal news. Actually, there was publication is required if a case is going to be, you can use it as an attorney, can use it for precedent. But usually there are cases that are very interesting to attorneys and may be applicable in your case, and so the attorney, although he can't use it as precedent, trial judge does not have to follow it. Sometimes can be very helpful. There was a case this week, Bank of New York, Mellon versus a homeowner, and the defendants appealed from the Chancery Division's denial of the motion to transfer the plaintiff's foreclosure action to the law division. And in support of their motion to transfer, defendants argued that despite filing an answer deemed to be non-contesting by the Office of Foreclosure, and despite the denial of their motion to dismiss plaintiff's complaint for lack of standing, they never had an adjudication of their defenses and counterclaims. And so after 2 years of making payments on their mortgage, defendants applied for and received a loan modification. However, thereafter, the defendants failed to make any payments. And the plaintiff in that case sent the defendants a notice of intent to foreclose and elected its right to accelerate the balance due under the note and mortgage by filing the present foreclosure complaint. Defendants filed their answer, which was deemed non-contesting, and unsuccessfully moved to dismiss the action for lack of standing. Defendants then used a statutory adjournment and moved to grant an exception to the entire controversy doctrine to permit them to pursue claims in the law division. The Chancery Division denied the motion, and on appeal, the court affirmed the Chancery Division's denial. Now, the court also noted that the defendants were afforded an opportunity to challenge foreclosure, but instead they filed a non-contesting answer and unsuccessfully moved the defendants to action. So that, one of the things that you have to be very careful and get a very good attorney if you get involved in foreclosure suits, because they can be really, difficult. And in this case, however, we have defendants who, seemed to get a break and then didn't go ahead and make payments. So there's, unfortunately, the court sees this so often that they sometimes skim over very valid cases, and that's really unfortunate. So what else is happening in the law? Well, one of the larger firms in New Jersey, after 31 years in business, a firm I knew a number of partners at in Morristown, has shut down, and it was Graham Curtin was the name, but there were a number of attorneys. I think there were probably 30 to 40 attorneys, and a number of them, including Tom Curtin, who was the name partner, is going to head to another firm, McElroy, Deutsch, Mulvaney, and Carpenter. And they started out as a small breakaway firm in Morristown, and now they have offices all over. Been very successful. As I said, there's real concern now with respect to the opioid crisis, and hopefully there'll be many more programs and, much more that people can do before the situation gets so out of control, because it really is, or close to now, out of control. The New Jersey Legislative Committee on Monday recommended a passage of a bill aimed at policing discriminatory pay practices in the workplace. Well, I guess we'll see that. And haven't seen it yet. So as I said, I talked about some of the criminal law cases. There are many more that are coming up that we don't really think about, but they're out there. And one of the things that many inmates do is they file their own appeals. So, it's just pretty easy. They don't have much else to do, so they just take big walks and, ponder how to. File appeals. So that now there's a blog from the New Jersey State Bar Foundations that you might find interesting, and it takes on a discussion of regular order and the art of compromise, and explores the committee system and how it works while funding, and what comes next out of Washington, D.C. So we'll be back after a couple of breaks from our sponsors and a second short break for some of the latest news.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
This indictment alleges that the defendants worked on behalf of the Iranian government.
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein referring to nine Iranians indicted in a massive cyber theft case. They're accused of hacking into computer systems at major universities and U.S. government systems.
For the stated purpose of helping Iranian universities access scientific research.
The DOJ concedes it's unlikely the nine will ever face trial here in the United States.
I will never sign another bill like this again.
President Trump reluctantly signing a $1.3 trillion spending bill to keep the government running into September. He says, though, it includes too much unnecessary spending and was only completed 24 hours before the vote, which means no one had a chance to read it. You're listening to USA Radio News.
On January 29th of last year, I was a stroke victim, but some patients can't even get the proper medication because of stringent insurance practices. Doctor, doesn't seem like America, does it?
No, it does not. And first of all, I'm very sorry that you had that experience. It is not like America. This is not the way it should be. PCSK9 inhibitors, which were released and approved by the FDA in 2015, the summer of 2015, have experienced unprecedented barriers for access by the payers of the insurance companies. They're human monoclonal antibodies made by an immortal cell line. They're not little drugs that are just punched out on an assembly line.
Wow.
But what I can tell you is this, that the PCSK9 inhibitors clearly lower LDL cholesterol effectively. I mean, that has been well documented.
If you think you have a heart problem, what's the best thing to do?
Oh, my God. If you think you have a heart problem, talk to your doctor.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back with It's the Law. Can you believe it was, less than 2 months ago we were talking about Scammer Central and, another year in the world of cybercrime. And we were saying things have not gotten any better. And, of course, now we're seeing what happened to Facebook. So there were two major data breaches this past year, Yahoo and Equifax, and they were the ones who got the most public attention. But now we're going to be hearing a lot about Facebook and really, scary stuff if people can get a hold of all of the data that many folks put on Facebook. There were, however, in the last year, there were scores of other breaches, including AOL, eSports, Intercontinental Hotels, Arby's, Dun & Bradstreet, Saks. I mean, that was really, be able to find out who spends what money at Saks. Brooks Brothers, Kmart. So I guess they're not picky. They'll go do high end, like Brooks Brothers and Saks, and then do, I should say, more modest, lower end, Kmart. And also, however, Blue Cross Blue Shield and Verizon and Whole Foods, Hyatt Hotels, Uber, eBay. Those are just a few of the major companies that had significant breaches. And, of course, when they said there was no reason to believe it will get any better in 2018 either, well, we're barely into 2018. We've seen other companies and, you know, even Facebook. So now Facebook is one of the companies that we have to worry about because millions of people have had their information hijacked. So that there were tips for the potential Equifax data breach victims. And one of the things is that everyone can request a free copy of your annual credit report. And, you know, we should do that. I haven't done it yet, but we should. And then what we also have to do and is carefully review it, because obviously it doesn't help to have it if it's inaccurate and we don't let the company know. So some of the inaccurate information can be inquiries from loan companies and new accounts that you don't recognize, or are dead-end giveaways that you've been victimized. So, you know, that's really important to make sure that if you're victimized, that you have to get a handle on this. So what you should do is create an identity, what we call an identity theft report, and with the Federal Trade Commission, that's the FTC, and give the law it's important that law enforcement have copies of the information because any report should be given, any report given to the FTC, a copy should be given to the local police department. So the other thing is you can place an extended fraud alert or security freeze on your credit. Now, creditors are still able to, put a fraud alert. That's probably the best thing. Or security status freeze. Now, creditors may have access to your account, however. Do you know whether or not that's the situation? So, you know, as I said, creditors will have access to your credit file even though you've placed a 7-year extended fraud alert on the file. And but you must first, they must first contact you to verify your identity before granting credit. So that's important, that at least they have to notify you in case this is a scam, which it often is. So also a credit freeze could actually help, but it's not going to protect from everything, because you must call each credit bureau directly to implement a freeze. And file your taxes as soon as you can and request a PIN number to your file. Too much to have to do at this late. Well, we're going to... that's about the end of the show. And again... scammers are also using that highly publicized incident as a sneaky way to grab your money or personal information. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week, but be very careful. In fact, one of the scams also is to call on the telephone and ask if they're something, and the response would be yes. Well, don't say yes, because they can put that into something that shows that you said yes to purchase a certain product. But in any event, we'll go to the news, and hopefully I'll be joined by one of the other sports guys, Bill Wolfson, and we'll talk about sports, and I hope he's here because I don't have a lot to say about sports this week. I don't want to keep harping on my disappointment that Jordy Nelson is no longer with the Packers. So let's see what we can come up with.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare.